One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, happy Sunday, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and I would like to welcome you to this pre-Christmas NTEB House Church Sunday service. We're so glad that you're here today. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the necessity of Christian living and good works in the last days before the rapture. What a wonderful and amazing thing that it is to be saved, born again, and sealed unto the day of redemption. This is something that no other dispensation offers. It is unique to the church age, where believers are placed into the body of Christ. If you want to start an immediate argument on social media, just start talking about once saved, always saved, and you'll have all the contention you could possibly imagine. But eternal security is Bible doctrine, whether you like it or not. Now, let's talk about where good works come into play for the sealed believer in Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul tells us, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." That must be pretty important. What could that possibly be? "That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." "These things are good and profitable unto men." Paul shows us that we are not saved by our works and we are not kept by our works, but good works do play a part in the sanctified life of the Christian. Some of the things that should be present in the life of all Christians is a love for the brethren, a willingness to be used for the body of Christ, a desire to see lost people get saved, and saved people get on fire for God. Now the question arises, how do we manage all this in light of having to live life in our frantic, frenetic, fast-paced, 21st technologically advanced century? Well, you do it the same way they did it back in the first century, by laying down your desires for the will of God, to accomplish the work that he saved you to do. How did Eutychus in Acts chapter 20 fall out of the window and break his neck while listening to the preaching of the greatest Christian in world history? It's because he was half in and half out. As gravity and falling asleep on the job will always pull you down, and it will never pull you up. Today, I would like to bring you a message on the necessity of good works in the life of the born-again Bible believer living in the last days before the rapture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. And Lord, we thank you for our NTEB House Church and our Sunday service and for our NTEB family. We're glad to be saved today, God, and we've come to hear the gospel today. We've come to hear the good news preached. We've come to open up the pages of our King James Bible and take a deep dive and see what you would have for us today, Lord. And Father God, we're so glad to be in your virtual house today. And Lord, there's people listening all across America. There's people listening all over the world right now, and we are connected by one common bond, and that is your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we come before you today, Lord, and we ask you to work and move and have your will and way in our lives today, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 All right, we have a birthday today, and let's just take a moment and wish Brother Gary Tatterson a very, very happy birthday.
It's your birthday.
It's the day that you were born.
It's your birthday.
It's the day your mama brought you home.
Amen, Brother Gary. Very happy birthday. All right, let's get started with today's House Church Sunday service. It's been such a busy week, and just letting you know about our schedule. We're going to have a full schedule this week up to and including our Christmas Eve service on Saturday. If you can make it live, that would be a blessing. If you can't make it live, you can listen to it on Christmas Day in the archives. But we are going to have a full week this week with all the podcasts and the Bible studies. And Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are going to have our NTEB Christmas service, and we're going to look at the story, the true story, mind you, the historical account of what happened in Migdal Eder on the Feast of Tabernacles 2,000 years ago. And I trust that that will be a blessing for you. So if you can make it, mark your calendars. Christmas Eve service, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. Also, I just want to let you know that on Friday, we started telling people about our NTEB wall calendar, and these things are selling much faster than I thought they would, and it's a blessing, and I praise the Lord for it. But if you're looking to get yourself an NTEB wall calendar, you better move quick, because they're selling out really, really fast. This calendar is a very different type of calendar. We spent a lot of time working on it and preparing it. Beautiful illustrations by Christian artist Haley Joy. And each page is just filled with King James scripture and beautiful illustrations of biblical things. And a really unique feature about this calendar is it has a blue line in the calendar starting in the month of March, going all the way to the beginning of June. And that blue line represents the likely time of the year for the pre-tribulation rapture to take place. And as you go through that calendar, what begins to happen, as you go through the blue line, you come across the seven feasts of the Lord. And we have them all beautifully illustrated and marked out on the calendar. But believe me when I tell you, you've never seen a calendar quite like this one. And we put many, many months into working on this calendar. And if you work with lost people, if you work with saved people, but they need to get on fire for God, why don't you get one of these calendars and hang it on the wall of your office? Or for those of you that have lost family members, get one of these calendars and hang it on the wall of your house where people can look at it every single day. This calendar preaches. It really does. The top of every page where the illustrations are is King James Scripture. And all through the calendar, you see the feasts of the Lord. You see the pre-trib blue line timeline. And it's very, very unique. So if you're planning on getting yourself a calendar, we're only doing one printing. And we're close to halfway out just since Friday. So I just want to give you the opportunity. If you want one of those calendars, go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself one of those calendars, because they're going to be gone, well, in a couple of days if this keeps up. And we pray that it does keep up, because I want it to be a blessing to everybody. If you're just tuning in today on our NTEB House Church Sunday service, I'm talking about the necessity of good works in the life of the born again, sealed unto the day of redemption, eternally secure Bible believer. And you really can't just sit there and do nothing if you want to have an expectation when you get to the judgment seat of Christ that you're going to get a reward for something. And I just want to talk to you today for a little while. I want to talk to you about the importance of good works. They don't do anything for your salvation, because we didn't do anything to get saved. We don't do anything to stay saved. That is all the work that Jesus did on the cross. But as far as your sanctification goes, well, that's all you. That's all you. Very glad that you're here today.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill a new and glorious morn fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. And in his name, all the prayers.
when life gets you down and you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul. Well, I may not know what you're going through, and I may not can make those high mountains move, but one thing I found. Share the burden you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Oh, and friend, do you think the giver and maker of life is far too busy to care about your trust?
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 27, Matthew 14, starting in verse 27, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, talking about the child that was to come, in verse 6 we read, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the millennial reign. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. There's the Holy Spirit. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. There's the Father. The Prince of Peace. Do you realize if Isaiah has it correctly, and I believe he does, do you really realize what Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 is telling you? That Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That Jesus is the Mighty God. That Jesus is the Everlasting Father. That he is wonderful. That he is our Counselor. That he is the Prince of Peace. What is Jesus? He's everything. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Spirit, he's the Creator. Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And it all started with a little baby in a manger in a place called Migdal Eder on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Baby boy is heaven's perfect glow. Son of God appears. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to us, O Israel.
Son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You don't need to understand religion. You just need to get saved and trust the ever-living God who loved you so much, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, it pleased the Father that in Jesus all fullness should dwell. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and if there's one listening that doesn't know you, Lord, as Savior, we pray, Lord, something would be said or done, or some music would be played, or some scripture would be read that would lead a lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, Lord, for if there's any among us who are lukewarm today, we pray that something would be said and done, or some music would be played, or some scripture would be read that would get a lukewarm soul back on fire for you. Lord, this morning we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, members of Jeanette's family and Trevor, and members of Lori Ann's family and members of my family. So many of us have lost family members. We pray for Jesse and his mom, for Rachel's dad, Ralph, for the Bolton family, for Colby Bohan, for Jordan Long, for David Peck, for people in the Weirs-Bickey family and Kentucky Jeffries family, Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin's family, Connie's family. Lord, in every family, Lord, that exists within our fellowship, we pray, Lord, that you would work and move, and that all these prayers for lost family members would be answered, Lord. And I know, God, that you don't force anybody to get saved. You don't make people get saved. You make it possible that they can get saved, and you convict them of their sins and put them in a place where they understand that they need to either accept or reject your free gift. But we know that you don't force anybody to get saved, God. And Lord, we're so glad and grateful for Ginny Glover. She got saved a couple of weeks ago. And so I'm just looking at the list, and just family after family after family. Spray of Sunshine, Barbara, Nicole Zimmer, Cheyenne, Karen, Werner Bukes, Nancy, Jill's family, Kathy Hughes' son, Haley C's friend Zane, Lulu with unsaved family members. A whole list of people in the Giacomino family. Dawn D is praying for David. Paul Caulfield praying for family members. Ramona Hayes praying for Kimberly and William and Jason and David and Amanda. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B has a whole bunch of family members. Shira McPherson has a son, Scott, who needs to get saved, and a daughter that is backslidden. Kevin Thompson has a whole bunch of people. Phyllis T praying for her husband. Summer Robbins praying for her dad. Todd Broom praying for his brother, Thad. Gary Tatterson praying for his family, Adam and Katie. Marie, His Grace, Lola, Bruce Bridges, Dave Evans, and the list just goes, Chuck Edgerton. And Father God, we just come before you today, Lord. And Lord, I'm just going to put my hand on the prayer list today. And Lord, we just ask you, Father God, to increase the conviction on all these people today, Lord, that we've been praying for. Julie Lynn praying for Katie Ann. Rita still praying for unsaved Catholic family members. And, you know, over the years, we've seen about 24 people pray to get saved in our street ministry, about 10 years of street ministry, over 1 million gospel tracts that we handed out, and 24 souls got saved. Is it worth it to spend 10 years on the streets for 24 people? It's worth it to spend 10 years on the streets for two people, if two people actually get saved. Anna Ball, Deborah Milton, Hap Nightingale, Trisha, Colonial Man, Norman Merkel, Henrik Larkson. They all have Kenny B, Rachel K, Sandra C, Marky Mark, Eric Huey, Shirley Meador, Regina Danner. Gail is praying for Jim. Hard to Hurt is praying for the Warner family. Stacy Bunton is praying for her husband's salvation. We're praying for our bookstore mailman, Joey, to get saved. Regina praying for Kelly, Chris, and Cisco. Brenda's husband, Ramona Hayes. She has a whole lot of stuff going on in her family. And I'm going to be so excited the day that we can start putting some of her prayer requests into the praise report column. Kevin Swift is battling a rare blood cancer called polycythemia. And we pray for his recovery. Harmon's son, Michael, with pancreatic cancer. Catherine B. is chronically ill with kidney failure. We're praying for her. Pam is battling glaucoma. Katrina has breast cancer. Dave Evans praying for his friend Diana with cancer, and she's not saved. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz needs a healing from asthma and scoliosis. We're praying a complete recovery for Anetta from a stroke. Natalie's husband, Ken, needs prayer for esophageal cancer. Clayton Perry has been battling cancer for the last 2.5 years. Rob Beatty, we're praying that God would give him a healing from colon cancer. We're praying for Dina Kruger's mom, Marcy, with a healing of colon cancer. Robert Wiley with ALS disease. Bonnie is praying for Ariel Roberts. Kathy Kelly praying for her sister Donia with cirrhosis of the liver. Patty Rogalski says that her husband has been going through a lot of medical issues lately, and we pray for that. Dana Bragdon and her husband Mike praise report. They officially recovered from COVID. She reached out to me this morning, and we rejoice with them in that. Marriages, we pray for Night Watch Autist and his wife, Bianca and Derek, Angela and Jeff, Stephanie and Andy. Erad is praying for his brother Morris and sister Gift in Uganda for their marriage. Kate has a unspoken prayer request, and we're praying for her housing situation. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Reed, Danny Arnell, Pastor Pho John in Vietnam, Luann in Turkey, she's a missionary, Pastor David Mark in India with the Good News Baptist Church, Stephen McCarroll with his UK bus ministry. Please remember our free Bible and God's Gospel Tract program, and please remember Erad Bairu Mumishu in Uganda. And he is so excited. He was he contacted me the other day, and he's really getting that Christmas dinner together. And a lot of people were very generous and donated to him. I donated. A lot of people donated. Now The End Begins made a donation. And I believe he has everything that he needs for his Christmas dinner. And he is just so overjoyed and glad and grateful. He's going to give them a gospel presentation. He's already purchased 100 King James Bibles, and he's just, God is really using him to a very high degree in Uganda. So please keep Erad Bursch and their Christmas dinner in your prayers. Please remember our NTEB street preachers in Ohio, Kentucky Jeffrey, Kyle and Reagan in Baton Rouge, up in Canada, Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinik, and I believe Nightwatch Autist and his friend Tom Fennessy, they're all in Canada. Street Preacher Marie in Philadelphia. In Australia, Henry Biggs and Arthur Ewes in South Africa. Jennifer Thompson in Australia. Joe Russiello in Eagle Pass. Mike Abram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops. Mia is praying for her friend Jay, who's a street preacher to the LGBTQ. And we have a lot going on with the list today. From the chat room, Lulu says that her daughter, that she calls Navy Girl, just re-enlisted for 6 more years, praying that she will get Fort Worth for her next duty station so that she could be close to her mom. Also, please keep her chief in prayers as he had a heart attack over the weekend. Matt in Texas has an unspoken. Berta Crab says Willie is healing. He's healing and says, thank you all for your continued prayers. Aunt Nancy says, please pray for my brother-in-law, Mike Long. He has COVID. Make sure that he's getting magnesium D3 and vitamin C. Kenny B says, pray for me for lost family and friends to be saved. I felt spiritually pressed on every side lately. Amen, brother. I can relate to that. Rachel K., my brother-in-law Joe just had heart surgery. Now he's having kidney trouble. Please pray for him to be healed. Angel says, prayers for all the lost family members of the participants of our chat room. Amen. Astern, that's Amanda. Melanie and Padden need to get saved. Jericho says, please pray for 3 older brothers and their families who need to be saved. Guest T. Muto, please pray for the Muto family salvation. Amen. Stephanie says, please pray for Michael to get saved. Terry Bryant, please remember my family in your prayers. Satan has been working to destroy families, and that is true. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Annabelle, please pray for my wife, Vilma, had knee surgery on Wednesday. Berta Crab, please praise the Lord that the pain in my legs is subsiding. Amen. Agar, please pray for Robert Smith. He has been coughing up blood. That's not good. Please pray for Liam. Lorianne's son Liam has not been feeling well this morning, some breathing challenges. So please keep little Liam in your prayers today. And please keep me in prayer. We went to church today at the North City Baptist Church. And in the new year, I'm going to get together with the deacon and with the pastor. And we're going to talk about opportunities for ministry at North City Baptist Church. And we're also going to talk about NTEB using that church on the days when they are not there. So if you could begin to bathe that in your prayers, that would be much appreciated. I don't want to do it if the Lord doesn't want me to do it. The Lord keeps me very busy, and I like that. Staying busy helps to keep me out of trouble. And we should all be busy about our Father's business, and we don't have time to worry about nonsense. But if the Lord doesn't want me ministering at North City Baptist Church, or if he doesn't want me stepping into a brick and mortar situation, then I don't want to do it. So just please pray that God would give me wisdom in the new year regarding ministry at North City Baptist Church. Tricia says, please pray for Jan Lacker. She said her husband wants to proceed with divorce, and that's not good. And we will put Jan Lacker and her husband on the list of marriages that we're praying for. Agar, praise report. David Schultz is home. The bleeding has stopped. And I did give the praise report that Mike and Dana Bragdon have overcome COVID-19. And they are feeling better today, and they are excited. And Dana wrote to me and said how grateful she is for her NTEB family. And I am as well. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, God. We praise you. And we come before you and ask you to work and move as only you can, God. And Father God, if you don't give it to us, we won't have it. And if you don't do it, God, it won't get done. We are a needy people But what we need, God, we don't need more money. We don't even need more time. What we need, God, is we need more of you in our life. And I just pray, Lord, that this simple little sermon this morning on good works in the life of the born-again, sealed unto the day of redemption Christian, I just pray, Father God, that this simple little sermon will bear much fruit for you. And Lord, we do need to be busy about your business. We do need to spend our time working for you. It's your field, Lord. It's not our field. It's your field. And we need to be busy getting something done for you. So, Lord, we commit this time to you, all these prayers, plus the unspoken prayers of our hearts. And, Lord, we just commit it to you and ask you to work and move. And we ask it, Lord, for your glory and for our good. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, one more song, and when we come back, it's going to be preaching time. It's just a simple message today. It's something that God has put on my heart lately, and we really, really need not to be busy for the sake of being busy, not just to have something to do for the sake of having something to do, but we need to be busy so that we can get something done that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day very, very much. But I want to be prepared for that day. And there's only one way to get prepared. You got to get close to God and you got to stay there. We'll be right back after this.
To thee. inside her eyes. There in my Savior's love, perfectly blessed, age after
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and I ask you one more time, Lord, to give me power to preach and teach your word. And Lord, we just pray, if there's one listening today who doesn't know you as Savior, that something would be said and done to lead that lost soul to you. And Lord, for the people who are saved, who are listening, we pray, Father God, that something would be said and done to get them on fire, to get something done for you, Lord. And we ask all these things, God, and commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about the necessity for good works in the life of, turn to Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3. And in Titus 3, starting in verse 1, Paul says this: put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, that's Romans 13, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Is that you today? This is what we're supposed to be. In Titus chapter 3 that I'm reading to you from, this is the Apostle Paul. He's our apostle. He's the apostle for the church age. And his doctrine is church age doctrine. And Paul says that we are to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. One reason why Now the End Begins only goes so far when we talk about politics is because when I read the Bible, when I read places like Titus 3 and Romans 13, I am not called as a Christian to rebel against my government. Now, if they try to make me do something that I feel is morally wrong, I won't do it. But in terms of being part of a group that's going to overthrow the government, Christians shouldn't do that. And that's not really what the first Americans did back in the 1700s. But that's a whole message for another day. But suffice to say that the Apostle Paul says that we are to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This is part of what it means to be a Christian in the church age. These are the things that we're supposed to be doing. You know, when I drive down the street, I have on the front of my car, I have my street preacher license plate. And if I'm stopped at a crosswalk and I'm watching people walk in front of my car from one side of the street to the other, in the vast majority of cases, they look down, they see the license plate, and then they lift their eyes up and they look at me through the windshield. And if you're going to be a Christian in the day and age that we live in, you got to remember that people are watching you. And they're watching not just what you say, but what you do. Now, if you're a Christian that suffers from road rage, and I've seen it happen in about 75% of all Christians I've ever known, that is not something that any Christian should be involved with. You shouldn't be flipping people off. You shouldn't be shouting at people. Paul says we're not to be a brawler. We are to be gentle, showing all meekness to all men. And then Paul says in verse 3 of Titus 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Man, you could do about a dozen sermons on those last four words and hating one another. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. And the Apostle Paul picks up that theme and he says that you are not supposed to live in malice and envy, serving yourself. That's what he's talking about, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. He's talking about focusing on you. And he says that there was a time when you lived in malice and envy, you were hateful, and you hated one another. But then Paul says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Are you starting to see the pattern that Paul is laying out? This is what it means to be a Christian in the church age. You didn't do anything to save yourself. You don't do anything to keep yourself saved. You are justified not by your works, but by his grace. But then you get all the way down to verse 8, and there's that little marker that shows that it's a new thought. Paul says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Now, repeating one more time, we do not work to get saved. We do not work to stay saved. But we are called to work, and we are called to work rather diligently. If you look at the apostles, if you look at the disciples, if you look at all the followers, what did they spend their time thinking about? They spent their time concerned with the things that God would have them to do. And when you get saved, the first thing you have to do is you have to learn the scriptures. You have to search the scriptures. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know what a workman does? A workman wears jeans or overalls or coveralls, and they roll up their sleeves, and they fix broken plumbing. They build houses. They dig ditches. They fix septic systems. They landscape. They drain swamps. They clear brush. They harvest fields. They plant. They plow. That's what a workman does. So the first type of work I want to talk to you about today, the first type of good work that God wants you to do, is he wants you to study the scriptures, that you may be thoroughly furnished, and that you would have everything that you need to do the work that God has called you to do. Now, the only way that you can prepare for that work is you've got to soak yourself in the scriptures. You have to know what the Bible says. You have to understand that the Bible was written dispensationally. And you have to do all of these things. I just saw this message, Rapture 57. Please pray that I get a heater soon. I'm very cold. Would you email me, please? Send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins. But I think that there's many people here who will help you with that. But we will absolutely get you a heater. There is no doubt about that. Just let me know how we can help. The first thing that you need to do, the first thing that you need to do as a born-again, saved child of God, you need to understand the scriptures. You need to read the Bible. You need to understand that God wrote the Bible dispensationally. You have to know the differences between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You have to know how it is that you got saved and what scriptural principles are behind that. Because if you don't know those things, how is it possible that you can go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in? To come into what? And how do they come in? These are the things that you have to know if you're going to be a child of God who is going to be fruitful unto the Lord. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar. You don't have to be a Hebrew scholar. You don't even have to know Greek or Hebrew. because God put his preserved word, if you speak English, as 95% of the entire world does, God has preserved his infallible, error-free word for you in the King James Bible. This is why we have a free Bible program. This is why we have Bibles behind bars. Because we understand the importance of putting God's word into people's hands. But once you do that, you have to know how to lead somebody to salvation. You have to show them where the salvation is. Now, can you imagine trying to tell somebody that they need to join a church and be baptized if they want to be saved? Getting baptized doesn't save you in the church age. Joining a local church, well, that's good, but it's not the same as joining the body of Christ. And how do you explain that to somebody if you don't know it yourself? So what do? We have a free Bible program. We have Bible studies. We have them every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. What is the purpose of our Bible studies? To teach people the Bible. Why? So they can go out and teach other people. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is the work that you and I are supposed to be doing. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody is an evangelist or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher. But everybody is called to participate in the work. What is the work? It's the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. D.L. Moody was a preacher in the 19th century, and God used him in a very mighty way. But Moody could not have done the amazing work that God called him to do without the thousands and thousands of people who prayed for him, who donated to his ministry, who allowed him to have the resources that he needed to build churches and schools and homeless shelters and all the other things that D.L. Moody did in the course of traveling the world and being a gospel preacher. It took thousands and thousands of people to do the work that God called Moody to do. So it doesn't matter what level that you're on. There is a part for you to play. So the first thing that you have to do is you got to get into the word, and you've got to understand what that word means. You have to be able to handle the scriptures. You have to be able to rightly divide the scriptures. And when you can do that, then you can go and you can teach others and you can show other people. And as you begin to witness to people, you hand out gospel tracts, you go up to a stranger at the gas station, can I tell you about Jesus Christ? Or you wish somebody a Merry Christmas or a Happy Hanukkah, and you hand him a gospel tract, and can I tell you about the Savior? You know, the vast majority of people that you ask that question of, can I tell you about the Savior, most of them are going to say no thank you. But if you ask that question often enough, you're going to get people saying, yeah, I'd like to know about the Savior. You don't know who God puts in your path. Sometimes God puts people in your path and they are stone cold. But other times, and I've experienced this, God puts people in your path that have been worked on and worked over by the Holy Spirit. and people have given them tracts and witness to them, and they have seen example and after example of the love of God. And when God puts them in front of you, you don't know it, but they are ready to get saved. Well, if you're not ready to tell them how to get saved, then you're not prepared for the work that God called you to do. So the first thing you have to do is you have to get into the Word. And once you get into the Word, then you have to get into the work. It's not about getting a pulpit. It's not about getting a church. If you are truly called to the work, and if you're saved, you're called. If you are truly called to the work, then you'll do it just for the sheer joy of doing it. You know, when I started Now the End Begins over 13 years ago now, it existed on a very different level, and it was so much smaller than it is today. But let me tell you something. I don't enjoy doing it any more now than I did then, just because it's bigger. Or maybe I phrased that incorrectly. Let me rephrase that, because I do not want it to sound negative. I enjoyed doing Now the End Begins when it was small and tiny every bit as much as I enjoy doing it today. Because it's not about the size, it's not about the scope. It's about doing what God has called you to do. So Paul says that we are to be careful to maintain good works. Paul says it's a faithful saying, and I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God, the first thing that comes is you got to get saved. Then you got to have good works, because good works won't save you. Good works won't keep you saved. God doesn't have a balance sheet where he looks at your sheet and says, well, you got 10 things in the positive column. You have 12 things in the negative column. Your bad outweighs your good. God doesn't operate like that. God operates, you take my son and I'll give you his righteousness. Your righteousness, I don't want. So it's not a matter of you cleaning yourself up to be ready to do God's work. It's you got to get saved. And then once you get saved, you got to get into the work and you got to get busy and you've got to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people that will try to put you into a yoke, who will just tie you up with working in the office and working at the copier and working in the Sunday school class and doing all these things. Have you ever seen people in church? They get so burned out, they get so exhausted that they wind up not going to church because they're too tired. That's not the type of work that I'm talking about. The type of work that I'm talking about is the type of work that God saved you to do. And that is preaching and teaching on whatever level the gospel of the grace of God to a lost and dying world, and to be a witness to other Christians. A lot of the times people will come into the bookstore, and I have had countless people come up to me and say, I'm one of those lukewarm Laodiceans that you talk about on the radio program, and God has convicted me, and I don't want to be a lukewarm Laodicean anymore. You know who was a lukewarm Laodicean? Kyle Gorzel. Can you believe that? When you look at how God is blessing him and his family and the work that they're doing out there in Baton Rouge on the street corner and all the Bibles that they hand out and all the gospel tracts that they hand out and all the preaching that Kyle does on the street corner. Can you believe that Kyle was ever a lukewarm Laodicean who didn't care about what Bible version he used? And I didn't discuss this with Brother Kyle. It just, God just brought it to my mind. And I really don't think he would mind me telling you this. Because many people have drifted into a lukewarm complacency and they don't even realize that they're there. And then God leads them into one of our programs and one of our broadcasts. And then they realize how indifferent that they've become to the gospel. And so you need to make sure that you're working in the Lord's harvest field and that you're trying your very best on a daily basis to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you volunteer at your church, that's great. All churches need volunteers. All churches need the congregation to help them out, and far too few people get involved with helping out their own local church. But you've got to be careful not to allow yourself to be put into a yoke where you're doing all of these tasks that really have very little to do with getting the gospel out. So the Apostle Paul says that after you got saved, you have to be careful to maintain good works. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Now, I understand this is Jesus and he's talking about the kingdom age. I get that. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Why is he going out at nighttime to go look at his piece of ground? Verse 19 says, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Have you ever wondered about this guy? He's going out to test his 5 yoke of oxen after he purchased them. Why didn't he prove the oxen before he bought them? Does this sound like a legitimate reason? Or does this sound like a liar who's making an excuse? Well, you tell me. Verse 20 says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Why can't you bring your wife with you? You see how ridiculous these excuses are? Well, that's how God looks at it when he calls you to get something done for him. And you say, now, Lord, you know that I can worship you just as much fishing out here on the lake than I could sitting in that old church. Where are your priorities? And no, you cannot worship the Lord just as well while you're fishing than you could assembling together with the saints and talking about the things of God. So in Luke chapter 14, you see 3 ridiculous excuses. The one guy wants to go check on a piece of property, but it's dark out. The other guy just paid for 5 yoke of oxen, and now he wants to go make sure that he got a good deal. And then the third guy says, well, I have a wife and I can't come for no particular reason. Verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, again, I understand dispensationally that this is kingdom age preaching, but there's nothing that I just gave you that would be in violation of anything that the Apostle Paul wrote. And here in Luke chapter 14, we see a whole bunch of people who are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. These three people were called. They could have been chosen. They rejected. They did not want to be chosen. Jesus says, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. What does that mean? Does that mean going out and knocking on doors? It could. Does that mean going out to the street and preaching on a street corner? It could. Does it mean going out and handing out gospel tracts as you go about your daily business? Yes. Well, how about online? Can you go out into the highways and hedges of social media? Not to argue, not to fight, but to give people the gospel of the grace of God? I was on Twitter yesterday, and a woman, she made a tweet that said, she was asking a question, and she said, which one of the seals from Revelation 6 do you think that we're up to now? And I wrote back to this woman publicly, and I wrote back to her and said, none. Because the rapture has to happen first. And I gave her a link to an article that we did about Matthew chapter 24 and Revelation chapter 6. And to my surprise, she commented back and she said, Thank you so much. That article was very helpful. I'm new and I'm learning. So yes, social media can be an absolute wasteland. And I highly advise you to not get involved with debates. You cannot debate somebody online. It cannot be done. All you can do is argue. And you know what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1? Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And all of 1 Timothy chapter 1 is talking about how you are to share the gospel and to preach the gospel. Now, you can go on social media and you can be a gospel light. You can get the Father's work done. And you can do all this stuff, but you've got to be careful. Don't get sucked into when I'm on Facebook and I see somebody talking about the heresy of once saved, always saved. Ephesians chapter 1 says that in the church age, we are absolutely sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, 11 through 13, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So, that's what the Bible says. Why on earth are you going to go online and argue with somebody who says that eternal security is not true. Those are the people that you are to mark and avoid. Don't argue with people about the timing of the rapture. Don't argue with people about being a preterist or a post-toasty. Don't argue with people about eternal security. But if you're wise, God will lead you to opportunities where you can minister the gospel. And you can do it right from the keyboard in front of your own computer in your own house. And you can be a blessing to people, and you can put it out, and people can receive it, and you can do the work of the Lord. You know, when revival happens, one of the real interesting features of revival is everybody gets love for everybody else. Everybody begins to judge their own sins instead of the sins of other people. And when you have revival, people begin to take their focus off of themselves and they begin to put it on Jesus Christ. That's what real revival is. You're not going to get real revival through worship music and endless, meaningless choruses that all they do is that they're designed to whip you up into a frenzy. That is not revival. Dancing around and throwing your hands in the air and rolling on the ground, that is not the work of the Holy Spirit in the church age. That is the work of the devil. Real revival is when a large group of Christians begin to put their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the stories about Billy Sunday? And he was a famous baseball player in the end of the 19th century. And he got saved at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And he just like that, he just left baseball. He got out of his contract as soon as he could. And he was making a lot of money. He had fame. He had fortune. And when he heard the gospel preached at the Pacific Garden Mission, Billy Sunday got saved, and he got a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God used him to bring revival to America. And you know, when Billy Sunday came to town, and he put up his tent with his sawdust trail, movie houses would go out of business. Liquor stores would close down because the people who owned those establishments got saved. That's real revival. And that's how you can tell the difference between fake revival and real revival. When God's people get a burden to do the work of the Lord, amazing things can happen. Here at Now the End Begins, at the start of this year, I had no inkling, really, I had no inkling at all that we would be able to do twice as many free Bibles this year as last year. I had no, God didn't give me any sort of heads up or advance notice that this was going to be the year that we do 100,000 Bibles. But you know what happened? God's people got a burden. And we began to do thousands and then tens of thousands and then multiple tens of thousands. Right now, we are less than 4,000 Bibles away from handing out 100,000 free Bibles for this year. Now, that took a lot of people praying. That took a lot of people giving a lot of money. And that took a lot of time to process these orders and to deal with the phone calls and to pray with people and to pray over people. It's not just simply handing out the Bibles and you're done. there is a whole lot of work that goes on about half a dozen different levels, and it takes a whole lot of people to do all this work. Now, how is it possible that we're able to do that in 2022? Because God's people got revived. And then everybody started focusing on, hey, I think we can do 30,000 Bibles. Then it became 50,000. Then it became 75,000. Now we're just under 100,000. So what I'm giving you, I'm not doing fundraising here. What I'm giving you is a tangible, real-world example of something that is happening in our midst right now. So from that perspective, I have to believe that God has been gracious and he has granted us a season of revival here at Now the End Begins. And I'm glad for that, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm so excited to see what he's going to do next. But the point of what I'm telling you is, I am not the free Bible program. You, all of you, are the free Bible program. And I get letter after letter after letter from jails and prisons and homeless shelters thanking us for the Bibles, for the gospel tracts, for the New Testaments, for the scripture portions. And it's making such an unbelievable impact, not just in America, but in countries around the world. And that's what happens when people get revived. And that's what happens when people say, hey, I can do something for the kingdom of God. I can do something to advance what this work is. So the Apostle Paul says that we should be careful to maintain good works. And from God's perspective, now, is it a good work to give somebody something to eat who's hungry? Absolutely. But to simply give them a meal without worrying about the spiritual food that they need, you've only done half a job. And many, many times when we've been street preaching, we have bought food for people who were hungry. But we give them a gospel tract, we give them the gospel. And so Paul says that after you have believed, and we'll finish where we started in Titus chapter 3. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know what John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ? He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Jesus said about John the Baptist, talking about men that were born among women, that there is none greater in the kingdom than John the Baptist. And that's the guy that said, he must increase and I must decrease. So as we get ready for 2023, and I believe that 2023 is going to be the most chaotic year yet, and we're going to talk about that on the podcast tomorrow. I have what I believe is going to be an amazing podcast to talk about. It might even be a little bit shocking on some levels, but I have some incredible things to talk about on the podcast tomorrow. And I want people to be prepared for what comes next. But the only way that you can be prepared is you got to get in that Bible. You got to know what it says. You got to know how to handle the scripture. You have to know how to rightly divide it. And then you have to know how to give it out. And I believe that when the Bible talks about maintaining good works, I believe that, yes, that's a good testimony among your fellow men. That's a good testimony in your neighborhood. And I gave the example of people who were Christians, but they have road rage and they have the I Heart Jesus sticker on their car, but they're cutting people off and giving people the bird. That should never be among a Christian. And the longer that I spend doing this ministry, it's funny. I have had to withdraw myself from so many other things that I didn't think were bad or even questionable. But I've had to withdraw myself from everything and anything that would pull me away from doing the work that God has called me to do. And because of that, I don't really have time to go to the movies. I've been to one movie in the last 3.5 years. I don't have time to go to a sporting event. I don't really have the desire, but if I did, I don't really have the time. And the reason for that is, with each passing month and each passing year, I've been trying to give the Lord more and more of my schedule. And when you give God your time, then he's going to put you in a position where you can get something done for him that's going to last for eternity, that's going to make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Just a short little message today on good works. If you're not saved, you got to get saved, because if you die, you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn. But if you are saved, you got to be careful to maintain good works for the Lord. Not to stay saved, not to curry favor with God, but because you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of God one day, and we're going to give an account to him for how we spend our time. Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat? What if you died today? Every single day, over 151,000 people die. Many of those people are born again, saved Christians. And I always like to look at it this way, and then I'll be done. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can never lose our salvation in the church age. That's what the Apostle Paul teaches us. That's one of the amazing blessings of getting saved in the church age. But it's a really good idea to live your life as if you could lose your salvation, as if your salvation depended upon the works that you do for the Lord. You know, people who are really good with finances and people who are really good with money, the advice that they give people is that when you get a raise at your job, don't raise your standard of living. Keep your standard of living the same, and then you'll be able to handle your money much better. And I think salvation is much the same way. We can't lose our salvation. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. And sometimes that makes us a little bit lazy, because we know that we live in the age of grace. And that should never be something... You shouldn't think like that. We have been sealed unto the day of redemption, but we should live our lives like our salvation depended upon our works. It doesn't, but if we lived our lives like that, we would really get something done. And I'm so excited about what 2023 is going to bring. And I hope and I pray that we're going to see some amazing fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I don't care if it's good prophecy. I don't care if it's bad prophecy. I just want to see the word of the Lord come to pass. That's what I want to see. And I believe we're going to see a lot of that in 2023, even more than we saw this year, last year, or even in 2020. I believe 2023 is going to be the year. And hopefully it's going to be a 23 skidoo. But we're going to talk more about that on the podcast tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in to Before I Go. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you have a question about your salvation, please reach out and email me to info@nowtheendbegins.com. If you want to know how to get saved, reach out, contact me. I'll be happy to get on the phone with you, and I can tell you how to get saved. But if you're too shy to reach out, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 says this, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you need to get saved, that's how you do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Please bless the preaching and teaching of your word and gather us back here together tonight, Lord, in just a couple of hours at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Bible study. And we'll give you all the honor and glory for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Sunday afternoon. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard for another. We are wrapping up our seven-part series on the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble. Don't miss it tonight. Tonight is the grand finale of our look at the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble from Revelation 6 to Revelation 19. And Lord willing, we're going to be doing all that and more tonight. Have a great afternoon,
listen,
everybody.
Look, you've never listened to me ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York as people were fleeing from a crumbling building. There were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh, Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible! There's no cross in the theology! There's no soul-searching word! There's no repentance from sin! There's no mention of the blood of Jesus! Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God! Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!